Welcome to A-State Connections. I'm your host, Jonathan Raves. Over the next hour, you'll hear interviews and stories about the people of Arkansas State who are making an impact throughout the communities in the region. The show not only focuses on things that are going on at just the Jonesboro campus, but also on the other campuses across the ASU system. More information in today's features on A-State Connections can be found at kasu.org. Go to shows and find the A-State Connections drop-down link. Up first, Front Lines. Today we finish the second part of an interview series of Arkansas State University alumni who went to New York City to help with COVID-19 response. Last week I talked with Mandy Thomas. Mandy went to New York City with Joshua Godsey. He's working near Memphis as a certified registered nurse anesthetist. And he tells about his experience of working in an area that was a hot spot for COVID-19. I started the interview by asking Godsey to tell a little bit about himself and how he came to Arkansas State University.
Sure. I'm 32 years old. I'm actually from Memphis, Tennessee. Currently live in a little bit outside of Memphis in Arlington, Tennessee. And kind of started out this long journey, long story short, was didn't know what I wanted to do with my life outside of high school other than I liked fast cars and a couple other little hobbies and whatnot, and decided that I was a few classes away in college from getting into nursing school and fell in love with nursing and ICU nursing in particular, and then met a few, at the time I didn't even know what they were, but they called them CRNAs, and what they did was pretty cool to me, and doing anesthesia and getting to intubate people and making a difference in the healthcare field, and decide, well, I guess that's what I'll do with as my next part of this long journey. And, you know, several years later, graduated this past May and been practicing as a CRNA now since last September, and starting to get some good experience and stuff under my belt. And, love my job, love what I do. And then came all the pandemic stuff, and the opportunity arose to go to New York, and you know, the rest is history.
So do you work in Memphis, at a hospital in Memphis?
I work at a couple different facilities. I work for a group called East Memphis Anesthesia Services, which is a fantastic anesthesia group serving the Mid-South over here. And we primarily cover the St. Francis hospitals, in particular St. Francis Bartlett, St. Francis Park, and a couple surgery centers, Campbell's, which is like an ortho center type thing. So go a little bit everywhere.
Fantastic. So tell us about the COVID-19. How did you get, get the opportunity to be able to go to New York?
Basically, it was kind of one of those weird situations that it just, everything kind of fell into place, and I had been thinking about doing a travel assignment for a long time and wasn't really sure where to start, never did it before. Then the pandemic hit, and as far as from an anesthesia standpoint, elective surgeries were dropping off because obviously people weren't coming into the hospital, and they were only getting the bare minimum done under emergency standpoint to, you know, decrease the spread and whatnot. But they were looking for people to take on at the time a voluntary leave of absence, where you would just take some time off work and that kind of thing. And there were people that needed the hours and, you know, needed to work necessarily more than I did. And I took a little time off to do my part to give those people some help. And then my colleague, Mandy, who I went with as well to New York, just happened to call me and say that, you know, hey, I think I'm interested in going to New York. And, you know, I kind of made the decision on the spot. And I said, well, I guess I'll go with you. And she said, are you serious? It's a big decision. And I said, yeah, I think I'll go. And so it just all kind of fell that I had the time off work and a friend to go with for support. And we were able to make it happen through the agency we went with. And it just worked out perfectly for us.
What was your experience like being in New York?
It's hard to describe. You know, I know it's the cliche thing to say, but it was almost like being in a movie that I had never been to New York before. I hadn't done much traveling up to this point, and pretty much anything north of Tennessee I'd never been through before. And, you know, you see these places on movies and television stuff. You see the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, Central Park, so on and so forth. And to see this overwhelmingly large city, and that's just iconic, to be debased to nobody on the streets, and the few people there are on the streets are just healthcare providers, military, police, fire, you know, just the, you know, as they say, essential workers and stuff at the time. It was both eerie and being awestruck all at the same time.
Going there you went to Mount Sinai, is that right? There by Central Park?
That's correct.
So what was it like being there with right there on the front lines in New York in an area that really has been hit hard with COVID-19? Tell us about that, if you don't mind, please, while you're working in Mount Sinai.
Sure. You know, obviously I've got somewhat of a link healthcare career. I've been in healthcare for, you know, roughly 10 years now, you know, start to finish in several different areas. And, you know, my ICU experience kind of, I thought, would prepare me for, you know, dealing with, you know, very, very sick patients and, you know, usually emergency scenarios, end of life kind of stuff. And nothing could have prepared me for what I saw at the hospital. And to be honest, that Mandy and I kind of came up on the whole situation when it had started to quote unquote calm down compared to the war zone that it seemed like it was before we got there. But literally the entire hospital, every single patient in the facility was positive for the virus at different stages. That, you know, some people were positive and were having a little bit of trouble and that were okay, while others were fighting for their lives. And you know, trying to get up the courage and stuff to go into these rooms, you know, night after night after night, knowing that, you know, you're wearing your personal protective equipment, your PPE, that you've got your mask and your face shield and your gloves, and, you know, you try to be as careful as you possibly can, but, you know, you're just a couple mistakes away from, you know, touching your face or, you know, getting something in your eye or, you know, that kind of thing. You take these precautions as much as you can, but it was very scary, and you kind of had to put that in the back of your head on knowing that you're here to do a job and you're here to help people and try to make a difference for these people. And you just have to put your own safety and your own thoughts of possibly getting the virus in the back of your head and just buckle down, head down, and just do the job. But it was very, very intense, but I feel like it was a very good experience at the same time that we were able to make a difference there for Mount Sinai and New York.
By way of healthcare workers being on the front lines and you seeing that, how do you take care of yourself mentally? I know physically there are a lot of things that you can do, but how do you do that? And I know that for you all being there, it was a break for some who'd been working no telling how many, you know, many straight days without really a rest and all that. But how do you find the time and what do you do to try to take that mental care that you need?
You know, I think everybody's a little bit different how they coped with the scenario. That for me, it's always been a balance. That you have to have a balance that you I call it the disconnect, that you have to be able to go into a situation and you know, be able to complete tasks and, you know, help somebody and provide care for somebody. And yes, you need to always be, you know, compassionate and stuff, and, you know, have these feelings and stuff that, you know, this is another human being and that, you know, that this, you know, could possibly end in a bad result. But I was just always, you know, decent at putting those things into the back of my head and just being like, okay, I know this is sad and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I'm, like I said before, I'm here to do this job, and that I can't be bogged down with my feelings and, you know, mental status and stuff on it. That for me, just being task oriented and going and just doing the job and working hard and staying busy doesn't give you a lot of time to sit there and, you know, dwell about that. And I think if I had more time to sit and think about it, if we weren't working so much, because at the time we were doing 12-hour nights, six on, one off, and, you know, off days on Monday. So, you know, we're pulling around 75 hours a week, give or take, that it didn't really give me too much time to really think about it. And as far as taking care of my mental health, that it's the little stuff. It's just happy to get a free meal and to get some sleep and stay busy. And staying busy was the name of the game to help keep you straight.
And also probably having Mandy along with you as well, as having a friend to be able to be there. Because when we talked to her on A-State Connection, she was doing basically the same thing you were. So you all had that bond there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would have been able to do it without having a friend. That we made some friends, some lifelong connections there as well. But, you know, those are my personal things that kind of helped get me through. But just knowing that I was there experiencing the same thing and had that support system and somebody to talk to and a friend that was constantly there, you know, if you did need help, you had somebody there that you immediately knew and immediately could rely on. And that was crucial.
Being there in New York, how did it change your view from COVID-19? By way of, did you have a certain perspective about the virus before you went, and maybe it changed after?
Absolutely, and I think that's a big issue that is creeping up for a lot of people in this country, that your perspective on the virus and what you believe about it is directly correlated to your personal experience with it, right? So if you're fortunate enough to live in an area that's not near as impacted by the virus, you know, you might be a little bit more skeptical. You might be that this isn't real, or that this is you know, something that only affects the extreme elderly or the very, very sick, and that it's not going to happen to me and that kind of thing. And personally, that coming from a scientific background and a healthcare background, that I took it seriously, that I knew it was the real deal. But after getting to New York and seeing what it, you know, in person, what it actually can do to people and how severe that it could get, that it certainly changed my perspective, especially when I got home, that I was, I've become much more cautious and, you know, of making sure to wash my hands and, you know, wearing, you know, things like your mask and maintaining social distancing, maintaining that crucial 6 feet, you know, at all times when you can, and bearing in mind who you're being around, that you might be, you know, 20 years old, 19 years old, young, healthy, and that nothing's wrong with you. And the likelihood of you getting sick is low. But that does not mean necessarily that you can't spread that to somebody else. And I try to remain mindful of that, that it's not just me being a cowboy or anything like that. But, you know, just trying to use as many precautions as you possibly can and take it seriously, because it is serious. And it certainly was life-changing and changed my perspective seeing it in person for sure. So I'm just much more cautious than I was before.
And how do you think that it would be able to help, you know, the group that you work with and the different facilities that you go to, since you've seen it, do you think you can help by way of, you know, people are concerned about the fall coming up and the winter, if you have flu season, you may have COVID-19 that's not going to go away anytime soon. Have you been able to try to maybe help in a prep plan or something like that, since you've seen how bad it can be? And also that experience of, you know, basically their healthcare system being overwhelmed by this.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things that when I told my job that I was going, that, you know, we kind of joked about it before I went and stuff, that, you know, we want to know your perspective, you know, should things, you know, get bad or, you know, whatever, here we want to talk about it. But, now that I've been back to work, that I've been talking with a lot of my colleagues and, you know, the powers that be on things that we can do to help lessen the risk of the spread. And we've actually changed several policies at my particular facility for the better, that, you know, things like testing, you know, patients before they can come in for an elective surgery. And if we know that there's going to be a, you know, a risk of really aerosolizing a virus, or God forbid that there be an emergency for somebody and that we just don't have the time to test somebody for COVID-19 and then take them to surgery, that they need, you know, life-changing surgery right now. And just little things like that have been crucial, and their approach to, you know, lessening our spread, and hopefully, knock on wood, that we won't get that bad here come the winter and the fall, should we see a resurgence of this thing. And that if we keep doing the things that we're doing now and following the guidelines and the new implementations at the hospital that we've started, that that will definitely make a difference and lessen the chance of that happening.
I know that Shelby County has seen a lot of cases of COVID-19. You know, the Tennessee has been having, you know, that issue of seeing a lot of those cases. Davidson County, where Nashville is, and also Shelby County, seeing those cases. But have you all seen, with that, your healthcare system being kind of overwhelmed? I mean, how has the healthcare system been able to, you know, handle the large amount of cases that are there in Tennessee, especially in Shelby County where you're at?
You know, I'm hearing from other colleagues that being in anesthesia, we're a little bit more sheltered, right? That, you know, I'm pretty much stuck in the OR for most of the time with my job, that, you know, places like the ER, where people are actively coming in with the infection and the virus and whatnot, and trying to what how severe and stuff that it is, that we're not nearly as affected as that, because there's still people that are afraid to have surgery, and that they're not as readily to schedule surgery at the same time because of everything that's going on. So, you know, we're really only working at maybe 80-90% of capacity from what we were previously prior to the pandemic. And from what I've heard from other friends in the hospital and the ER, that yeah, cases are on the rise. I don't know if we're quite at the level of being overwhelmed from our particular facility, but it certainly has the potential of getting there as time goes on. But I think we've jumped on this thing quickly enough and are, you know, trying to make the difference where we can on things like I said, washing your hands, wearing a mask, maintaining social distance, those sorts of things to prevent that overwhelming situation from happening.
Joshua, you know, way to go. Congratulations on the work that you all have been doing. So you came back, you were able to be in quarantine, you know, you self-quarantined for 2 weeks and everything is going good. How are you feeling? Are you feeling well?
I'm feeling great. Never really had any kind of symptoms or, you know, issues with feeling bad while I was there or afterwards. Like I was telling or from just from a mental health standpoint and how you get through it between, you know, having a good colleague and stuff with you and that kind of thing, that, you know, we were so busy not thinking about it. It really wasn't until I made it to quarantine where you just kind of had the time to sit with your own thoughts and think about it and how rough of a situation stuff that it was. And that took a couple days to work through and process. But now I'm just happy and healthy to be back at home in my own space and my own job with my friends, coworkers, and family, and extremely grateful to be in a position where it's not as much of a risk, and it's not we're not hit as hard as New York was there. So just happy to be here and available, and hopefully to make a difference and prevent such a thing from happening here or maybe even in other places. So just happy to be here.
Joshua, if you were given the opportunity to go back again, would you do it?
if all the planets were to align perfectly like that, and the job had let me go, if you had asked me to, if I knew now before I went, I probably wouldn't have gone. It was that scary. But now that I've gone and realized that I can do it, that I can practice in such a way that will, you know, hopefully keep me from contracting COVID-19, and how wild it was there. And but the how rewarding it was to try and make a difference and to help those people, I'd go back in a heartbeat should all of this happen again. This, it was that much of a good experience, and I don't think I have an excuse not to go and help people in need. That that's just the healthcare mindset. And if I'm available to do it and I can help others to do it, then I will certainly answer the call again for sure.
And how do you feel that Arkansas State, you know, kind of gave you the tools to be able to do what you do? How do you feel that Arkansas State's kind of made that impact in your life?
You know, I'm eternally grateful that I was given the opportunity to attend there, and I worked with a wonderful set of staff and clinical sites that their knowledge and expertise and education that gave me was indispensable to allow me to do this. If you had asked me a few years ago that or told me a few years ago that there'd be a pandemic and that you would be a CRNA and that you would be dropping everything and going to New York to help answer the call, I would tell you that you were a crazy person. And what the one of the huge reasons that gave me the ability to do that is Arkansas State and the education that they gave me, the opportunity that they gave me, and it would not have been possible without that staff and the university itself for making that available to happen. So it's a huge thing. It changed my life. I would like to think that I changed other people's lives, and you know, the care that I was able to give because of the education I received from there.
Joshua, thank you so much for your time today. Before I let you run, is there anything else you would like to add, please, that we didn't cover?
No, not really. That's pretty much it. I appreciate you guys, and you know, appreciate Arkansas State and the opportunity for me to talk to you. And the main thing and takeaway is that I want to tell people that there's a lot of questions and stuff out there, and you know, it's a very huge privilege to be in a position to be in an area that is not affected by COVID-19 the way that New York is, but it can happen anywhere. And even though that you're healthy and that it may not seem like a big deal to you, please wash your hands, you know, wear a mask, you know, when you're out in public, and maintain those social distancing guidelines and stuff so we can beat this thing that, you know, you may not get sick, but you could make somebody else sick and not even know who they were and that kind of thing. So just be smart. You don't have to be wild about it, but just practice good, safe, common sense and the guidelines that are put forth so we can beat this thing. And hopefully we don't have to be back here doing this again, because we're all in this this thing together. And that's the only way that we're going to beat it. So, but again, I appreciate y'all very much, and thanks for having me on.
And that is Joshua Godsey on KASU.